firecrackers, huh?
Hot potato, hot potato. Who's got the hot potato? Yeah. Well, when you get it tossed to you, you gotta know what to do with it.
Toss it.
Toss it to somebody else. Yeah. Amen. Let's just find our connection here. When you step in and come into a public worship time, public being the fact you have someone beside yourself, could be small, you know, in your home or in a church. There's a weaving of things that happen that bring together the fiber of what God has for that moment. And every meeting, every time you join yourself together, it has a purpose, but it's the fiber or the consistency of it is the combination or the culmination of the spirits that are in the house. This is why Scripture says that when you come together, we all have a contributing gift, and it weaves together into a message, not just a teaching message, but a purpose of coming together. And so as we step in, we usually come in through the threshold of praise and worship. That's the pattern setting. Old Testament, Solomon, as he entered into the temple, he had the procession come and the worshipers come. The children of Israel in the wilderness, as they went forward, they always had the worshipers ahead of them. So that's the pattern. So that's why we do this. We open up the way to go in. And then as we enter into that processional, then there's the other elements of that journey we're on. And generally at the end, somewhere along the way, we have an experience like Solomon did, where the priest and everybody was on the floor. Now, that's not just a physical thing, but certainly we've now gone into the presence of the Lord in such a way that we're overcome, we're captured by the things of the Lord. The term baptism, the picture of baptism is literally standing on the bow of a boat in as you crash through the waves. And the waves come and overtake you, or they come over you and engulf you. And so we enter in to be engulfed by the Lord. By the time that we leave a gathering like this, we need to be overcome by God's anointing. Sometimes we do physically, but most often it's certainly a spiritual inundating, where God just overcomes us, and in that he's correcting and healing and strengthening. So when we shift from one phase to another, especially in the worship time, worship is so delicate, and we've opened our spirits, and we've got to be careful we don't just come in and be foolish or, you know, some kind of light comments. It's always a delicate time to connect that. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm working at doing that right now. In case you hadn't noticed. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to make this bridge over into the next stage. Hallelujah. I'm not lost. I never am lost. I'm usually hours ahead, and that's what's, I get so impatient. Get the worshipers out of the way so I can do my job. See me tap my foot, you know, what's happening. And so I've got a mandate to share, and I'm gonna do it. And it usually comes in about three stages. And so we'll just take them step at a time. And by the time I'm through, we will have accomplished why I'm here. And the the main reason I'm here is for the connection with your pastor. What's happening this morning is just the kind of the overflow of that, because the relationship that we have together is the primary purpose of me coming today. And in doing that, then it gives me an open door into the house. And I have the legal right then to step into this fellowship, ecclesia as we call it, church, and speak into the house, because the one who has the key or the door to the house has opened it up for me. So this is how the kingdom operates. So I've been invited in, and our relationship that we've been building over the weeks and months has brought this moment. So now that I've stepped in, then I have a word from the Lord and some direction and some prophetic release. And when I leave, there will be a difference. There will be a change in the atmosphere. There will be a shift, not in direction or vision. That's not my issue. I don't deal with that. I augment it. I encourage it. I boost it. Sometimes I'll take something out of the way or put something in, depending on how the Holy Spirit moves. But that's what I'm here today. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm not practicing on you. I know what I'm doing. I've done this a long time. Amen. So this isn't an experiment. I'm here to do a job. Praise the Lord. I was thinking about Paul as I was getting ready to come up, and his list of things that he rattled off, and you know, kind of a who's who of what he did and where he's been. Well, I always notice he ends up with I can do nothing outside of Jesus. So we do, you know, I have a long list of things. Our dear sister had me with 6 generations. Actually, my mom and dad were pastors, and my sisters are in the ministry for years. I think where you got the 6 is I've been in this thing 6 decades. So I started when I was 9, by the way. So Pentecostal tradition is we started them early. And that was, of course, probably a youth service or something. But I remember what I preached on. I preached on faith. And it lasted a little shorter than what I'm going to give you this morning. Yeah, I'm going to get away with a 3-minute sermon this morning. Amen. So just some run-up to the last few hours so we can kind of catch up with what's happening. When I come into a place, a new work, or a new contact that God opens, I have been, my last church I pastored almost 30 years. And in that time, I've been mobile because of my background. God's had me on the road quite a bit. So as I pastored, I always traveled. And in that time, I built relationships with several dozen churches, and I still do that now. So that's what I'm doing now. I've been out of the pulpit of my church 7 years or 8 years, and I've become a voice, an apostolic voice in some cases. I'm not an apostolic voice in all cases. Sometimes I'm a prophetic voice. Depends on the connection that God makes, and. And so when I come in, there's usually a word for the house, and God starts giving it to me several days ahead sometimes. Sometimes it's a day or two or a night or two. And so last night, the Lord visited me with a couple of things, and I'll deliver them to you before I'm through here. But I asked to meet the angel of Corvallis. His name that he gave me was Stalwart. W-A-R-T means very loyal and dedicated, physically strong, body, mind, and spirit. And so I've joined with him, as you have, I know, to bring about the destiny, the scroll, the purpose of this region, and why it was dedicated and why it was set. So what I like to do is greet the angel of the house that I'm in, and the town I'm in, and the region I'm in, and from the angel that I have dealt with for the last 36-37 years in my town. I went to Mount Vernon in 1978, and I figured I could wrap it up in a couple of years. It was a small town, and I was a big preacher, and I felt I could do it in 2 years. Well, I've been there. I'm still there. And God had other plans. We raised up a house and had some great stuff happen. So there's purpose in God putting you where you are. And some of you are here by circumstances beyond your control. For instance, the young man on the drums. He's one of the sons, right? And did I meet you? You're so good looking, I can't tell you apart. Did I meet you last night?
No.
Okay, that was your other brother. He's not as good looking as you, I'm sorry to say. you have no say in the fact of why you came. You see, circumstances brought you here in a different channel than this brother over here. God orchestrated his life differently and brought him here. Now, every one of you have a journey you've been on that the Lord orchestrated to bring you to this moment in time and blend your spirits together so that the blending or the weaving together of your spirits provide this house what it needs in this season. And there's a purpose why you're orchestrating yourself into a position in the spiritual realms. There's a reason why. So as I come along now, I'm just coming along to encourage and strengthen and do what the prophetic voice does and that anointing I walk in. So this is just kind of the premise that I'm here for, and I'm giving you some background. I had an interesting thing this morning. Early, I was going over some of these things and doing some communication, and all of a sudden, because I asked the watchers of the city some things. And suddenly they all crowded in my room. And I have a small room, and it was full. It was an interesting few moments. We had some interaction. Why is that important? Now, I'm assuming if you're here this morning, you've already got the idea that the journey this church is on is I was going to use the word interesting, but it's and unusual doesn't fit. But there's another word I'm reaching for. It's called targeted. There's a targeted purpose. Now, if you're here, I'm assuming you've already found that out. So there's no secrets in this thing that we've had a mandate from the Lord to target a specific thing God's called us to be. Now, if that's the case, then we need to learn how to fine-tune that and get into the groove that we're in. If you don't do that, if you don't just adjust yourself, you'll find yourself miserable after a while. Now, every church has an anointing and a purpose. There's a purpose for the church to be formed. You see some churches, you know, as you look around the scope, and they have a big children's ministry or a bus ministry, or you see them and they got a television ministry. And of course, the ones we see are usually ones that are big enough to see. You know, we see them sticking up over there in the horizon. But they have an anointing for that. That's a call. So what we do, we go to the conventions and we sit and listen and come back and try to reproduce that anointing in our church. And then we're frustrated for another year until we go to another convention and find out that there's another secret. So then we try home groups and we come back and we find out we're going to style home groups. I'm not going to go down that road. All right, let's I don't want to drag up memories of failed homebrew ministries. Now, why? Because we try to take somebody else's call and put it on our house. So this house, this fellowship, this functioning ecclesia has a purpose. Now, in that purpose, then, we're beginning to learn about the watchers. We're learning about the angels of the Lord. We're learning about... Now, I know this sounds strange to some of you if you don't know the background of Pentecost, but Pentecost did not teach this. Pentecost, I came up, my father came in the 30s, I was born again in the 50s. I grew up in Pentecost and preached as an evangelist in Pentecost through the 70s until I started pastoring. Then I came into the charismatic movement. But there was no teaching along these lines. We knew the angels were real, but they were like for, you know, some important guy in Africa, I guess, had an angel or two. And so we had to discover the elements of the kingdom that some of you talk about very easily now without, you know, without stuttering. Talk about all the levels and the realms of God that we're beginning to discover now. And some of you have been on this journey a while, and it's new to you. So just, you know, step in. There's a lot of tutors along the way. You won't drown. It's a good journey. All right. So when we throw these things out. I was in my I don't know. Maybe late 30s, early 40s, before I knew anything about the tabernacles. We didn't teach tabernacles in Pentecost. We taught speaking in tongues, and healing, and interpreting in tongues. I didn't know much about the gifts of the Spirit that wasn't taught until the charismatic movement began to open up the gifts of the Spirit. You know, the dimensions of it, the levels of it, and the departments of it, and the callings and the gifts. You say, well, what kind of background do you come from? Pentecost began to dumb down after some of the initial times, and so there were certainly pockets that people knew about these things, but my particular background didn't. What did we do? We prayed, we preached, we loved God, we won souls, you know, had church. We were living in the light, and so today we've got a new light that we're walking in. And as you walk in the light that you have, then God gives more light, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Amen. It's a wonderful journey, and I found out that I'm not responsible for the light I don't have yet. Just have to walk in the light I have. Amen.
Amen.
I told the Lord more than once, said, are you sure you called the right guy? hey, it's me. Do you remember who you called? And he assured me that he knew what he's doing. So, step back in, put the harness back on, set the plow again, and you pull forward. Because God's called you to a certain place. And some of you are plowing hard ground, but keep doing it. Amen.
Amen.
He's called you on purpose. Amen. I want to read 1 Corinthians 1:4 out of the Common English Bible. And open up the thought that I've got. There they are. My glasses, thank you. I thank my God always for you because of God's grace that was given to you in Christ Jesus. That is, you were made rich through him in everything. Now let's read this like we like it's real, all right, and true. I know that sounds silly in church, but let's actually believe what we're hearing, all right? Let's say it again. That is, you were made rich through him in everything, in all your communication, and in every kind of knowledge, in the same way that the testimony about Christ was confirmed with you. The result is that you aren't missing any spiritual gift while you wait for our Lord Jesus to be revealed. Let's be careful we don't use a lot of these scriptures for the second coming. Let's see them as they are. And it's tradition that every time we talk about the Lord coming or the Lord appearing, it's always shoved off in some future fantasy land. So let's take this back now today and let's hear this. Let's hear Paul writing to this church, to the church of Jesus Christ. And he's saying you have he's made you rich in everything, in your communication, in every kind of knowledge, in the same way that the testimony about Christ was confirmed with you. The result is that you aren't missing any spiritual gift while you wait for our Lord Jesus to be revealed. Now, what's happening in this season of our life is that we're having a revelation of Christ. We see Christ through angelic visitations. We see Christ through the manifestation of the witnesses. We see Christ through heavenly journeys. We see Christ through our own personal encounters on the kingdom. Everything that the kingdom represents is a part of Christ. So it's not just a face of Christ or the image of Christ or I'm talking to Jesus, but everything that is kingdom is Christ filled, because he holds all things. Everything is held together by his command, his voice, his spirit, and who he is. And of course we know it's all in him, because it contains, he's all contained. So let's hear this again. The result of this is that you aren't missing any spiritual gift while you wait for our Lord to be revealed, Jesus to be revealed. He will also confirm your testimony about Christ until the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what the Spirit gave me was, I come bearing gifts. So what I want to do, I'm going to stir up some gifts this morning. And in doing so, we will... I'm waiting for something here. Hold on. Matthew 18:18. Let's. I'm going to read a few more verses before we do that. I have the ability now to do some things that are very, very important for this house to move forward. Matthew 18 and 18. Let me go by there. Go over there a minute. I got another session of scripture. Glory to God. Assuredly, I say to you, let's back up a bit. Where do I want to go? Parable of the lost sheep. Jesus warns of offenses. Let's back up a bit. I don't want to run at 18 yet. I want to get a run up on that. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, verse 7, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. Verse 8, if your hand or foot, we don't want to do that today. Let's move on past that one. I don't want to get into that. Verse 10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father. That's a wonderful verse. It's not where I'm going, though. For the Son... I'd love to, but I'm not going there. For the Son of Man has come to save. What do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray? Verse 13. And if he should find it, surely I say to you, he rejoices. Verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. What we're going to do today, we're going to call in some people to this house, and in order to do that, we've got to do some releasing and forgiving. And before we're through today, I want to take you into a place where we can step into the place of some people you may know or may not know. We can do it in the spirit, or maybe God will give you a face or a family or a situation. And what we're going to do, we're going to do some releasing and forgiving, and we're going to step into that place where we take responsibility for the sin and take it before the Lord, and then, you know, turn it around to where we find that justice or that righteousness back in the situation and release it out so we can call these people. There's a group of people that are coming this way that we're going to release this morning. That's one of the things God wants to do. And it has to do with forgiveness. This town's old enough to have a whole bunch of levels of unforgiveness and prejudice and attitudes and so forth. So we're going to cut through it by a supernatural act of God this morning. And each of us are going to have some particular direction God will give you personally, and I'll do some prayer here in a minute. But what's going to happen in the next 24 to 72 hours, you'll see the first break. You'll see some phone calls, or you'll see some reconnections. You'll run across someone. There'll be some changes in relationships, perhaps with you or maybe somebody you know that you see the break. Amen. Okay? All right, let's go. I'm coming toward 18. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Now, we use this as in church discipline sometimes, but it's not regulated just for that. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, I would suggest that when what God is revealing to us in this hour is that we don't do this in the pastor's office, like maybe we used to, or maybe the front room. I've done it in all cases, but I believe that we need to go with this brother into the courts of heaven together, and that would be where the agreement would certainly take place, wouldn't it? So if there's a refusal, then you take this thing before the courts of heaven, and if he refuses to hear, then you treat him like a tax collector and a heathen. Now we all know what to do with those suckers. We reject them. We don't have anything to do with them. We hate them. Actually, we see them coming. We cross the street like in the Good Samaritan story. Remember those other guys? No, we don't, do we? What do we do with tax collectors? We love them. We love them. We love them. We don't condemn them. They become that brother that was refusing to repent is now in the position of being loved back into the kingdom. We take him out of the choir. He doesn't get to lead Sunday school anymore. He doesn't get to, he's not going to have a voice anymore right now. He's like the tax collector and the heathen. He's going to be loved into the kingdom and restored. Because God's love never fails. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Verse 17 was very clear to me at one time in my life. That heathen, stupid, dirty tax collector, we hate him. I had to learn to love him. And there's somebody in your life that you have buried under a rock somewhere. God's going to take that rock off today, and you're going to come back and recycle, and God's going to teach you how to love them into the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
There's a lot of people I can love if I never have to see them again. I'm sorry. You're more spiritual than me, I forgot. That's human nature, isn't it? But God says no. We're going to just clean house. We're going to clean it. We're going to clean under all the cupboards and under the rugs. No sweeping under the rug. Why? Because we've asked the Lord to open the heavens for us. We want to go into a place. And in order to do that, a number of years ago, I was in a sheriff's helicopter. I wasn't under arrest, by the way. It was a VP trip. It was 2 hours over the Los Angeles Bowl, the valley there. Very interesting trip. As we came over Los Angeles through the, you know, past the Hollywood sign, all that iconic stuff, the sheriff said, see that building down there? That's the tallest building in town. It's a bank building. So we're going to go down there and land on it. So we come down. By that time, we've been up in the air about an hour and 40 minutes, and I'm starting to get woozy. You know, and so I'm peeking out there, and I see this little postage stamp coming. We get closer and closer and closer. I see the, you know, the wheels of that helicopter. And the Lord spoke and said, son, if there was a practicing volleyball team there or a Girl Scout troop, you wouldn't be able to land, with you? I said, no, it'd be pretty crowded. He said, so it is with my people. There's so much on their deck that I have trouble landing on them. And so the Lord has to come and begin to help us through the Holy Spirit, begin to clean the deck. Now, we've asked for some things, and yet the delay is not on God's part. I always thought, when I was a kid, I thought when you turn the radio off, the guys in the station stop talking. No, I thought they went to sleep or something. And so when you turn it on again, they said, it charges on the radio. You know, they start talking again. We get that idea about God. When we're busy, God's not, you know, he's kind of like. But there's things that he wants to download on us. So we need to clear the deck. And this word that God's given this house about forgiveness doesn't have to do with strife among us where, you know, we're bickering. But we're doing a work for the city. We're doing a work for people that may come here or may go to other places, but we're bringing them back into the kingdom. We're releasing some families and some generations that have been bound up in strife and ugliness for too long. Amen.
Amen.
So this is the direction for this simple word that I'm giving. And verse 18, assuredly I say, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two shall agree on earth concerning anything that you ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? And Peter really was stretching. Seven times he was going to go way for the limit, you know. And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Now, I would understand that to be just continually. You know, it's kind of like the big sevens. You just keep going. So it's not just 70 times seven, but it's just continually. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. These are familiar scriptures, I realize that, but I want you to hear them with a fresh ear this morning. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold. Now here's the judgments that get locked up in fellowships, churches, and regions. And it has to do with judging one another. This particular case is the unforgiveness of that guy who had been forgiven of so much. And then he went out and began to choke the guy that owed him $15 when he owed the other guy $15 million. And so the people around then dealt with this correctly. They took it to the master and said, Master, the king, there's injustice going on over here. And now, the way that we do it in the natural, the flesh, is that we get involved in the strife. Or we take sides with she said, he said, until the church then, or the body of Christ, gets knotted up and it becomes a dead issue. Church after church after church is locked up in this issue. And there's no move of God. They have an outward manifestation. And this is not a judgment on all churches, obviously. And I have been to all churches, thank the Lord. But this is an issue wherever you go. The church doesn't deliver itself through repentance and forgiveness and letting things go until it becomes just a knot. If you ever grow plants at the house, you have to change the pot once in a while because it gets root bound, and you have to get a bigger pot to grow that flower in. And a church gets root bound if it doesn't do the process of this, taking it to the Father, bringing this situation to the throne room, and letting God come back and bring judgment and justice again to this situation. Now what the king did then, the king brought this man back and took him through the process here. So the fellow servants fell down on his feet, begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, would not," let's see, where am I? When his fellow servants saw, verse 31, they were very grieved and told the master. Then his master called him in, and he said, you should have had compassion on your fellow servant. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he could pay what was due. There's a place that happens in a Christian's life that would be considered torture. And it's living and trying to follow Jesus with no peace, with no prosperity. I don't mean just money, but just the walk is not developing. There's no vision. There's no passion anymore. And it's because this thing is locked up and you're in torture. I don't see this as a heaven and hell thing. I see this as a fulfilled journey or a fulfilled destiny. My passion, desire, and my promise from God is that I'd be like David, that at the end of my journey he would have said, like he did with Matthew 25, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." With David, he said he performed all the will of God. And I've had a lot of pushback on that thought. People say, "Well, he was a scoundrel for all the dirty deeds David did." But God said he had fulfilled all the will of God, and that's the desire of the Lord for every one of us. Now, again, I'm not focusing on this house being knotted together and there's problems. I'm talking that we have been called. There's part of our destiny for this type of anointing is that we have been called to bring deliverance to the region we're in. And the thing that really gets me is we probably won't get a lot of credit for it. Thank you for that great response. We love it. No, I mean, we love to have a little attaboys once in a while. Like, oh, they saved the town. No, probably won't. It's in God. God's keeping track. I'm not worried about that. But in the flesh, we certainly think we ought to have a little more attention. I mean, look at the blood we've shed. God says, no, this is what you've done. And you've changed history. You've changed history. Praise God. You believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Don't let me frighten you. I look this way all the time. And my wife tells me I don't smile enough. Okay. Amen. There's a glass dome like you set over a nice flower, a preserved flower. You just put it on the shelf. Maybe it's preserved and ready for display. And they put a glass dome over that container. And God has been preparing you for display for some time. You've been going through some processes that seem unusual, and you wonder, what is he doing? But he's doing some preserving. Now, I'm using this flower analogy to just bring out some things that have been happening in your life as God has been adjusting, and I'm calling it a preserving in this sense of preparing it for display. There's a display that he's placed over you now, and you're ready to be set on the shelf. The shelf not being the shelf of disuse, but the shelf of honor and display, where God's put you right out front where everybody can see it. And I don't know what's going to happen in the next few hours or days, but there's something changing and shifting in your experience that God's going to display you differently than you've ever been before. Amen.
I agree.
Amen. And you watch. You watch. It's almost like a key in the door. You'll hear the click. And God's going to open up some things that you've been asking about. Amen.
I agree.
Does that fit? Okay. Now, you see, God's preparing us for things that we can't see yet. And yet the prophetic word, whether it's to us or through someone else or, you know, just out of the Spirit, gives us tracks to run on. And the prophetic word that Paul talks to Timothy about, he says, your mother, your grandmother, your mother had faith. You have that faith that's been passed on. That was a prophetic track for Timothy to run on, so he knew that he had the substance in him and the background in him to go the journey, because it had been laid out for him. That's the beauty of prophecy. Now, prophecy is not fortune telling. It's not something that we see. Let me put it this way: what I know about prophecy is just a little drop in the bucket. So whatever I share isn't the last word, but it's certainly good. So listen to it. Amen. I have to be careful. You don't know me that well. All right. But listen. Prophecy in this slice is creative, as well as revealing. So, I walk in prophecy. Most of my faith is in creative prophecy. So when I hear a word from the Lord, it's not like, well, that's going to happen. Even if you go to sleep, no, I got to get up and go to town, you know. I see the cloud. I'm getting up, beating this storm in town. You know, I want to get in town before it rains. So prophecy tells me this is what I want. So I reach into my treasure house, into the anointing, and I bring up the commands. And out of my mouth flows the same creative words that come out of the mouth of God, because He passed that on to me. You see, the same Spirit that was in Jesus is in me. I have the same ability to say to the mountain, cast into the sea. I have the same ability to say to the devil, get out. I have the same ability. Why? Because I have the mouth of God. I'm not just a clone of God. I am a son. And I have the same DNA of God. And we get real close to the edge saying we are gods.
Yeah.
Back up. I'm a son. I'm not there yet. Okay. Bells go off. My God made me in His image. So I'm learning how to respond to that. So you say, well, I'm not a prophet. Yes, you are. You said to this lovely woman one day some things that prophesied your future and changed your life forever. Now, if you'd have kept your mouth shut, you'd still be a happy single guy living in some little shack in the hill and washing the same dish every day. But you opened your mouth and you prophesied your future by saying something to this woman. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's how it works. Now, if you don't believe that, next time the cop stops, tell him what you really think about him.
Prophesy your future.
See where you end up that night. You'll prophesy your evening and probably the weekend. So this whole thing about the mouth and the tongue and the power of our prophetic word is so unending and so deep in the thing of understanding. We got a little bit of corner. We just peeled the corner back and looking at it. Amen. You have the creative ability to shape your future by what you say. That's pure prophecy. That's how it works in the individual believer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Spirit of prophecy just stepped in. Hold on. Sapakata siti om bremandam jedimaka sapandaya. Sipikapo sherimandam bremen jedimandaya. Jikata saromama mandam ripataya. Korimandam zidion dom bramakataya. Sapahahaya samandom bramamandaya. Feel that? You feel that? There's waves going out of this thing right now. Pamando pramandandandandri andai. Joto kori mandandra mapa. Whoa, glory to God. Mori manzela makatai. I'm on that spiral stairway. Hold on. I put an anchor on me here for a minute. Chete ramondombre mandangere mapopopo hotaya. Now, Lord. Oh, here it comes.
Yes.
Wow. Anointing of the Lord. Anointing of the Lord. There's an anointing right now. Just take a moment. Anointing of the Lord. Here's how I function, and just we'll walk this through just a bit, so maybe it'll help you. I lay hands on my brother here. I see him kneeling in the barn beside a bale of hay, and he's asking the Lord some questions. And God said, "I've heard your questions, and the answer is being developed, and you're going to hear the answer." It may not come through, you know, an angelic voice like we like sometime, but it's going to come, and you're going to see the change, and you're going to see the answers that you've been asking for. Now, whether the bale of hay is there or not, the image that God gives is he's kneeling down before the Father, and he's asking God. So I release that answer, Father, in these next hours and days, in Jesus' name. I lay hands on you. I see a leaf floating on the river or the little stream. And God says, I'm going to bring you to a place where there's no rough water. It's been, the leaf just is out there in the ripples. And God says, I'm going to bring you into a smooth place. And there's going to be a change in things that you've been going through, and God's going to bring peace, and he's going to bring tranquility, so that there's going to be some strengthening going on in you that you've been asking God about. God says, I'm going to bring that into your life, and you're going to sense the difference. When you walk out this door today, you will sense the difference. You will feel the peace of God as a blanket, almost like a covering. You'll feel it on your shoulders, and you'll know that the presence of the Lord is doing a work in your spirit. Jesus' name. That witness to you? Okay. Good. Now, don't let me spook you here. I just want to look at you a minute. Amen. And I have no idea why. I've just been ordered by the Holy Spirit just to look for a minute here. Amen. Now I know. You need to get used to this. You need to get used to realizing you're always being watched by that company of angels and also witnesses. You're never alone. He's always with you. His eye is always on you. Amen. Now, you're going to remember it because you'll see my face doing this. And I say, oh, that's right, the Lord's watching me. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Did that fit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Glory to God. I pray for your feet, not physically. I'm going to pray a spirit. Okay. All right, Lord. Amen. Is there a spirit of dance anywhere in the Bible? There must be. I'm going to pray for one on his feet. And he's going to... Is that okay? Amen. Lord, I just release these feet to dance. In Jesus' name. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Drummer, guitarist, stand up right where you are. Amen. There was an archer back in this corner a little bit ago and let loose with an arrow that went right through your chest, your heart. It's not a negative, it's a positive. God's targeted you for something beyond your imagination. There's things going on right now. Your mother told me a little bit, so I have to be careful, don't get in the flesh and, you know, natural understanding. But there's things going on right now that are temporary landing pods for you. But that's not you haven't landed yet. And God's sent an arrow this morning, not new to you, but I just saw it again. He's targeted you. And I want you to be very sensitive in these next 18 months. Very sensitive in the decisions you make and you know, because you're going to get some invitations and you're going to get some opportunity to do that will put you in the wrong journey. And you've got a track to stay on. So when you get these next come over here attitude, you better find yourself before the Lord, get the right direction, okay? Because he's got it for you. Amen. Now hold on, I want to give you something else. Lord, I just cut loose the mantle that's been hanging over him for several years now. And it's been like it's been on a hook or ties and ready to come. And I just cut those ties now and let it settle over his body, over his mind, over his emotions. And let him feel and sense and know the presence of God. And I call him now, Lord, into his destiny. What's your name, son?
Jacob.
I call Jason into his destiny.
Jacob.
I call him with a J into his destiny. I just called some Jacob in town, didn't I? A poor guy was in bed, and I just called him and got him out of bed. All right, now we get the right guy here.
Actually, you called the other brother.
The other brother was...
No, we had Jace, too, and that's what she knew you about.
I think I hit him then. Okay, yeah. Let's get back to... All right. Amen. Father, we release that anointing now in the name of the Lord. Now, are you a dreamer? Have dreams? Okay. Lord, just come into those dreams now in a way that will amaze him and will impress him so much that he'll know you've moved in on his territory in a way that he's not had before. And Father, from there, you're going to just take him into the journey in these next decades ahead of him that are going to impact the kingdom. I release this anointing on this young man in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. What are you doing here? Why'd you come? Well, I know I'm intimidating you by that harsh statement, but I didn't mean it to be negative. I want you to hear yourself say why you're not in this building, but what are you following Christ for? What's in your heart? There must be a hunger there, isn't there? Huh?
Yeah.
Now, Now, I'm going to help that in just a minute here, and I know I'm being kind of straightforward, but I want you to hear something. I want you to see through the eyes of Christ just for a moment, and God the Father, and I want you to see yourself not as you have seen yourself for the last 20 years. You know, kind of like trying to catch up with the crowd, trying to fit in, trying to hope someone, you know, gives you favor, and you know, looking for friends. I want you to see through the eyes of the Father into a son that he loves and into someone, a son that he has put destiny and purpose in, and into a young man that's being formed in his image. I want you to see the treasure God's put in this spirit right here. He's put in his very nature in your body, and this body now is a container. The spirit is in and around, we know that, but is a container of his very attitude, his very presence and his love. And I release the fear of the future. I release the intimidations of voices. I release the intimidations of people's attitudes towards you. I release words that have been sown into your spirit through it as a child and through childhood and the rejections. I break the power of that thing in Jesus' name, and I loose you unto God's purposes in Jesus' name. You receive that? You're going to feel different. There's going to be a change in the next moments as you leave this place, as you walk this out in these days. I want you to hear my voice again and again. And when the enemy comes back, you say, no, the preacher said this. I believe the preacher. I believe the word of God. And you just rebuke that thing and you watch about 2-3 times. It'll be broken in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. All right. All right. Oh boy. John 20 and 19, I have a couple more things I need to do. That last go about was off the clock, so now we're back on the clock. John 20:19. Oh, I've got it here somewhere. I lose my glasses again. There they are. Amen. Then the same day at evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven. If you retain the sins. Now, we have a real hard Protestant mind that's hard. We can't wrap ourselves around that. Because when we do, we begin to feel like we're Catholics, but there's something there we need to hear. There's some things we need to forgive this city and people for so they can come to God. The reason that the prodigal could come home is because Dad had already forgiven him and the door was open. Amen. Now look at this. The Father sent me, I send you. The Father sent me, I send you. As the Father sent me. Now what did the Father send him to do? To redeem the world back to God. And God has turned that around. And this fellowship of people, this body of people, if you don't belong to this, then you're in the kingdom. So hook on to this calling is to bring people back to God. We have the ability to release people from sin. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And we do it through this process of forgiveness. Amen. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. He breathed on them. I had a picture recently of God breathing on Adam. We always kind of seen it as this hot air, you know. But I believe the breath was words. He was speaking his destiny into him. This is what this verse says. He breathed on, but he was breathing out these words, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." It wasn't just blowing on them, but the breath that was coming had words involved in it. So we need to breathe on people prophetic words. Let that breath come out of our spirits, and in that prophetic words come, be blessed in Jesus, be forgiven in Jesus' name, be whole in Jesus' name, be redeemed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, John 7. I'm gonna do something here this morning, so hold on. He stood in the great day of the feast, and he cried with a loud voice, "If anybody's thirsty, hungry, come." He opened the door, and I'm gonna do it right now. I did it in the hotel room, real easy, but you know, now I'm kind of working it up here. Hallelujah. Wait a minute, we got to get things in order. I'm waiting for some more together. Just a minute, hold on. Just as I stood up to say this, there was a pretty good hustle, and I saw some late angels coming in, so I'm waiting for them. Hold on. They wanted to be involved in this, so I'm waiting. Hold on. Praise God. All right, let's do it. All you that are thirsty, come to the feast. All you that are hungry, come into the kingdom. You are forgiven. Come home. That company of angels that crowded in now have taken that message and they're going out. The region around with that message. Praise God. Spirit of God gave me something recently about angels and their messages. You know, sometimes we've looked at angels as messengers, like the guy on the bicycle with the telegram. But the Holy Spirit made it real to me that the Word of God is living. So the living Word of God is not like, well, the Lord told me to tell you this, but the living Word of God is that when the angel speaks, it is the living Word of God being, he's speaking. God is speaking through the angel. Just a thought. We dumb down so much, you know. Jesus is not junior God. He is God. And we are not just sinners saved by grace. We are sons and daughters in His image.
Amen.
Glory to God. One more verse. Then I want to do something. I'll put a seal to this. 2 Samuel 17:27, kind of an odd place to find on this journey I'm on now, but I want you to hear this prophetic word. 2 Samuel 17:27. Glory to God. Now it happened when David had come to a whole bunch of towns that are not important right now, that there were some people that came, and one of them came from Lodibar. Lodibar was a desolate place. But they came with provision, food, clothing, sustenance, all these things, and it came from the heathens. All these nations around were coming now to supply, and I have a prophetic word for this house. There's going to be some unusual supply, physical, financial, and favor. Some favor is not always money, but it's open doors. There's physical supply from what we would consider heathens, you know, people that aren't in the kingdom now yet. So this is a prophetic word God gave me to seal this and in this dissertation with. I'm prophesying over this house that you will see favor from people from these regions that are not considered kingdom regions. And they've been commissioned to supply strength for God's purposes, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
There you go. Oh, now I recognize you.
George, I apologize for not introducing myself, but I was hung up on getting you on air.
Yeah, I knew you were, John. God bless you. All right. How's that fit? How's it feel? How are we doing?
That's what we need.
Feels good.
How are we doing? They doing okay?
All right.
George, that kind of word has been spoken from our bench in the last 6 months exactly, calling out resources to calling the people in.
Good.
That was a confirmation.
Well, that's generally what I like to do, is confirm what God's already saying.
We had an angel messenger on the bike that brought us an envelope.
Really?
Yeah. His name is Venture Capital.
Venture Capital. Good. Glory to God. I can hardly wait to call my wife and tell her I can still hear the Holy Ghost. Joe, stand to your feet. Bless your heart. I just want to wash you with the anointing. And I'm going to, in doing so, there's going to be some scales come off and some scabs come off and some scars come off. Amen. Amen. I don't have to be a prophet to know you live this long. You got some bumps and bruises. God's just going to massage you in a physical and emotional way. And it's going to do something with your faith. You're going to begin to feel different. And physically, there's going to be some healing. There's going to be some restoration where you're beginning to get your strength back. Because God's got a journey for you that you're not through yet. You've just come into a new dimension, and God's got some destiny. So I just release the anointing over Joe right now. I release the anointing over his body, over his emotions, over his journey he's on. And Lord, over everything that he touches, let it be anointed in the name of the Lord. Let the Spirit of God be so present with him. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I was laying in bed Friday night, and all of a sudden the bed behind me, I was already on the road by myself, all of a sudden the bed behind me sunk, and four angels sat down on the bed. I said this morning, I wrote in my journal, I said, next time I'm going to look. I didn't look. I said, I ain't going to look at those guys. I'm going there. But I just sensed that when I laid hands on you. You're going to have the experience of encounters you've never had yet. And it's going to increase to a place where you're going to say, now I see what they're talking about. Release this in Jesus' name. Glory to God. 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 Ooh.
Oh!
Ooh, yeah. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know, did they knight women in the old days?
Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc, right, okay. I just saw that. I saw you kneeling before the king. Sword on each shoulder, as you know, traditional picture we see. You were being commissioned, knighted, and sent forth. There's an anointing. Now, this court scene, and I'm in the old court in this right now. In this court scene, we see the witnesses standing around, all the assembly. But there's a group. Missing the term they would use, that have already been assigned to your protection, your journey, and they're going with you, so you have a troop with you. You're not alone. But he's commissioned you to go now. And you already know what you're doing. You already know where you're going. You already know what the commission is, because it's been there a long time. It's just been developing, and it's also been like a Polaroid, becoming clearer all the time. But I just want you to sense and feel that knighting as he touches each shoulder. When I laid hands on your shoulder, I felt the anointing of that king. Glory to God. Now, God's going to give you a witness of this, because he knows how we walk. We need and we respond to witnesses and signs. So he's going to give you signs along the way and witnesses. Not so much just people, but you'll know that you're on track. You know that this is God. You know when you turn left or right, there's going to be triggers that happen in the inner man where you say, this is the way to go. This is the way to go. In Jesus' name. Okay? All right. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm not going to move for a minute, so just keep. I'm enjoying this thing over here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. How'd you ever end up with this crazy group of people?
God ordained.
Okay. Well, we'll see what. Let me just pray for you. Now, you know that. Dare I say you've asked yourself that same question?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why I figure. That's where that come from. How did I ever end up here, Lord? Ordained. I'm trying to get deeper than that, but it's not going anywhere. I think I just answered your question. Ordained of the Lord. Okay. We'll get around that. Now, I ran into a roadblock and didn't know where to go, and then the Lord led me around that pile of trash or whatever it was in the road. So we're just going to go around the obstacle that seems to block you at a certain point. Seems like you get so far, and whether it's tradition or people's voices or just inward intimidation, you get stopped. So I'm going to take you around that by the hand. We're going to get around that. We're not going to deal with that. God will burn that up later. But I want to get you back on track, because there's some road ahead of you, there's some distance ahead of you you need to get going on. So I'm just going to release the anointing in your spirit. Get your feet back on the path. Now, we're not dealing with sin. We're not dealing with, some kind of junk. That's the enemy just trying to stop your progress. and it comes out of some of our natural experiences, some of our families, you know, where we've been. So God's dealing with something way beyond my ability to articulate it, but I release it in Jesus' name. And I release your feet now in Jesus' name. I release the journey ahead of you is going to be filled with the oil of the Lord, and you're going to feel the lubrication of that gear again. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. How long have you been prophesying?
Well, I'm new to this journey. About 5 years. I don't consider myself prophesying, but I do know my words are very
important. Okay. Well, that's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear that come back out of your mouth. Because you have been prophesying. Now, God's taking you to a new level. And there's a gift on you. Now, we all prophesy in some form, I know that. But God's calling you into a place where He wants to put the prophetic spirit on you. Amen. And we know that you need a mentor, tutors for that, because you know the old prophets had that, where they learned how to hear the voice of the Lord. And that's important. But I am calling you to that place right now. I'm calling you up to that place, and I release the anointing over you. The mantle sets on you now, and you'll begin to be trained and tutored. And you watch, within the next months, it'll be an amazing development. And as when I see you again, I'll see a whole different person, because your spirit will rise up to that anointing. Mm-hmm. You'll grow into it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Where can we send you? I just wanted to hug on you a little bit. Hold on. Man, I don't have anything to give you. I just want to take something from you. Okay, hold on. I just want to get a little physical here. Oh, boy. Oh, my Lord. Let brotherly love continue, and let the strength of our spirits be blended. I just walk with my brother right now. I just walk with him, stand with him, be a strength to him, and be an encouragement. Love him into the positions of desire. He's got things in his heart he never talks about, but Lord, you put him there. I just release him into the physical, where he'll be able to see the desires of his heart come to pass. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. I saw you taking the blood and the body of Christ back there, didn't I?
Yes.
Amen. And as you did, you were taking in the very DNA of God, weren't you? Wow. Into your DNA, into your body. And Lord, I release the power of that communion, that covenant, that body and flesh and blood of Jesus. I release the power of it into her limbs, into her frame, into her spirit, into her mind. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something you've been trying to think through, and it seems like you've been confused over it. And God's going to give you a clear pathway. It's going to be like all of a sudden the light comes on and you see the answer for that thing in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just being obedient here for a bit. Give me a little few more moments. Lord, I release a gift over my brother. I release a gift over him. Hallelujah. I come bearing gifts this morning. I release a gift over my brother. Gift of mercy, gift of grace, gift of forgiveness, gift of peace. Lord, let the peace of God reign in Jesus' name. Amen. You need to encounter a face-to-face thing with Jesus. And I'm going to set it up for the next 7 days. So I want you to set some time aside just to meditate, do some alone time with Him. And He's going to come to you in a way He's never come before, because you need to be impressed with His personhood and how much He loves you, and the reality of the world of a spirit. He wants to impress you with that. So the next 7 days is going to be a meeting time. Now, not in 7 days, but in the next 7 days, He's going to become closer and closer. So just set some time aside and begin to do that, all right? All right, praise God. Praise God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Susan, stand up, take my hand. I take a hold of this woman of God in Jesus' name. And I link my spirit with hers, and we soar into the heavens now. And in Jesus' name, we take dominion on mountaintops and over things that have been dominated by other spirits and other bondages, anything that would be out of place. We come now as a united team together, and we recover some of these mountains that have been dominated by spirits. And we call those people up to those mountains that they've neglected it, they didn't know about it, they were in some kind of foolishness. We call them back to their place of authority. We call them back to their anointing. We call them back to their mountain in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Now, you may have had a face at that time. I didn't. I was just moving around, but God may have put some faces in your face. If that's the case, then that's who you should target. Just call them up to their mountain. Call them back to their inheritance in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. I had a mandate, so I got to get everybody. Amen, John. And bless you. By the spirit of peace, yeah, spirit of peace and understanding, hallelujah. I know you a little bit. We've talked via the internet. And you're a very interesting, and could I say complex man. But God put you there so that us simple-minded people have somebody to bounce off of, I guess. Yeah. And I say that not in silliness, but just in the humor of heaven, you know, how God likes to speak. So I release the peace of God over who you are, John. I release the peace of God over how He has created you to be, and I release the peace of God in you accepting the fact that He placed you exactly in the position of a wall. He put your block, your stone, your brick right where it fits in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord. Now, because of that, when you grasp that and you accept that, you're going to get a deeper and a greater download of revelation than you've ever thought possible. You've been struggling with some things, and it's been blocking off that helicopter from landing on your deck. So get rid of that. You watch it. You watch. God's just going to settle down over you in a new way in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Dan, John, Don. I'm close. You know, if I can get close, I'm good. Glory to God. Oh, wow. I love this man in Jesus' name. 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 Oh, Lord. Thank you.
said it, it took greater talent to be second fiddle than first fiddle. But you haven't noticed that yet, bud. Great God Almighty. Hallelujah. Interesting shift from the house here to the house at home, because this woman of God next to you knows how to make the shift. I don't sense any conflict there, but sometimes it gets a little confusing. But you've submitted to God's purposes, and you watch God's blessing over this thing, over you, as God gives you wisdom to walk alongside of this woman of God next to you, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Is that okay?
Yeah. All right.
Amen. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's your name?
Jack.
Jack. Jack, I had an angel come to me the other night named Jack. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
You got an angel's name. Yeah. Wow, that's cool. Give me your hand, Jack. Lord, I bless Jack in Jesus' name. I thank you for the peace of God over his mind and over his spirit. I thank you for things that have been ragged and torn to be healed and whole. Lord Jesus, just like oil on the water, bring peace and joy and a sense of security to my brother Jack, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so glad I met you. Amen. God bless you, Jack. Dear sister.
Whoa!
By the power of the Holy Ghost, I release, in Jesus' name. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I release. Glory to God. I see you holding onto the tail of a kite in a windstorm. And that kite is just doing what kites do, you know, just moving and shaking, and that tail is whipping, and you're holding on for dear life. That's kind of the feeling you have sometimes in this journey. You're on, my God, what am I doing up here? Can I hold on? Well, you will. Just hold on. He's taking you up. Whoa, glory to God, and I release in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, boy. You need to be more vocal. Keep things yourself. You're hearing and seeing things. You're a little intimidated about saying. I don't mean fearful in the sense, but you have a nature of just holding back. It's kind of your nature to be quieter. But God's going to teach you how to be more vocal, how to speak out, not in some obnoxious bragging way, but in a bold word. God's giving you some things you need to be bold about. Just speak those things. This is what God showed me. This is what he's saying to us and this people, in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right? All right. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Good. Amen. Amen. Okay, I go past this, I am making it up, so I'm quitting. Thank you, Sister Pastor, for the invite and the trust of the Holy Spirit to invite me. And we will see the results and the rewards of this few moments together. And
prophecy, you know, any kind of prophecy, you don't approach it like this. You unfold your arms and you say, I receive it. Like Mary, let it be unto me according to thy word. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Now, to pray for her would be a little redundant. So I'm not, you know, prophesying over somebody that's so prophesiable. I just made that word up. And as I'm speaking, I'm prophesying. Just, you know, just to pray over or prophesy over a person who, and a woman of God, and a saint of God who is moving in this realm is like running alongside the bus and saying, oh, the bus is moving, the bus is moving. You know, yes. And if you want to practice prophesying, it's good to do it on somebody who's already moving. But I'm not going to do that. I'm just speaking into her life right now as I'm saying this. You need to hear the voice of the Lord as he speaks into this woman's life, because what you're seeing right now is just the frame. And you drive by a bare piece of land and they dig in that thing and they fool around forever. And you wonder if they're ever going to build a building there, and all of a sudden you see the walls go up. But it's that foundation, and that's what God's been doing to her for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Foundational stuff. Because the tower that's going up needs a lot of concrete. And so that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. But you will see the walls. God bless you.
Afterwards, then clean up, or do half time?